sponsorship or kind of approval. So you can't speak out so much against the status quo when the status quo is very much corporation based or state based, which, you know, again, so when you think about media as like, oh, like, look at how good this representation is, it's like, well, it still fits within the status quo in a sense. Like, sure, we have women in movies in powerful positions, but they're exploiting other people, you know? Like,
and it doesn't even just fit the status quo. It kind of enforces the status quo.
No, definitely.
And it's like a cycle of just, okay, this is our culture, this is the media, this is going to influence our culture. And I had, like, honestly, this realization was like within the past year or so, just thinking about how inescapable or suffocating it kind of feels to be in a climate where the media is so like there. It is framed as if there's a bunch of different narratives and a bunch of different perspectives in the media. But to me, in reality, at least in mainstream like Hollywood or the most popular movies, it is just all coming from one main framework of ideas, I guess, and everyone's just listening to it and being influenced by it, even if it's not obvious, I guess.
Yeah, and it's like, who is actually even represented? Mm-hmm. Like, even when we say that there's such a wave, it's like, no Indigenous representation,
no.
So few, like, people of color, so few trans people, so few non-binary, and it's still like, even when that is represented, it is very much it's just such a commodified way.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a selling point, and it is nothing else but a selling point, and I feel like people are buying.
Yeah, and it's not even about, like, yes, it is about representation, like, in the movies as actors or actresses, but I think even behind the scenes, that's a super important form of representation for, like, directors especially. There's not many people of color like directing necessarily, or at least like dominating the field. Like, we still have this complete domination of like white men directing from a very capitalist viewpoint, and a lot of things that go along with that too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then there are some movies that are made by women. And this is kind of an example of how you still can't really escape certain things, even in the kind of expression of representation. And I know this is such a talked about movie, I'm sure so many people have talked about it, but it is a very good example, I think, is just Barbie.
Mm. Just made by a woman does not mean in any sense that, you know, you're actually antagonizing the gender oppression. Like,
yeah, in no way is it being like, what's the word, like, it's not progressive in any way. It's not like it could have been directed by anyone, in my opinion. Like, it's not necessarily sorry for everyone who liked Barbie out there, but I just...
But it's a sexist film, and it's just, maintaining the... Yeah, sorry, continue.
Yeah, it's... I don't even know really where to start with it. I don't know if I want to get into it today either, but it's just the fact that... Even the fact that there was just product placement throughout that entire movie is enough for me to hate a movie, but let alone, like, all the other just hypocrisies of it, and very frustrating to see it be labeled as this groundbreaking feminist movie.
Mm-hmm.
When we know it's like, it very much, the fact that it's even just centered around a doll, that like the most popular doll in the world, is just
and man, how one-dimensional women are. Like, that's what you were saying yesterday, and I fully agree.
Yeah,
like Stella was saying yesterday, the only character arc that happened was Ken. It's like, yeah. It's still, like, even a feminist movie is still going to be centered around a white man.
Yeah, who's, like, the most interesting character, the most well-written, in my opinion. And Barbie was
Sounds
just,
like you're a fangirl here, Barbie.
Honestly, Ken should have just been a Ken.
Yeah.
Movie. No, whatever. But, I mean, Barbie was just so one-note. and very predictable, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's just sad to see that there's nothing. I think Logan's right. Like, yeah, media has to be reflective of what we have in the culture, but it's still sad to see that there's not much representation of any radical ideas out there, I guess.
Yeah. But it also scares me sometimes when I see, like, I don't know, mm-hmm. an ad campaign that just so puts it on the nose, in the sense, like, they really are, like, labeling gender oppression, and they're on it, and they know the right slogans, and they're like, you know, let's fight for the gender revolution. And it's like this is supposed to be like a workers' movement. It's just so strange to me how commodified resistance has become. You know what I mean? Like, it has become it, and I think it has so much to do with like this, what we were saying before, this commodification of identity and like aestheticization.
Do you think commodification is a way of control? Like, if you're talking about like commodifying resistance or commodifying this or that, do you think it's a way of still controlling it in a way and painting a certain narrative for people to be like, oh yeah, this is how resistance looks, or this is, you know, like something like that?
I kind of see what, I think I understand the question. Mm-hmm. Wait, could you actually rephrase it?
Like, if we're talking about like commodification of identity, commodification of social movements or stuff like that, do you think it's a way to not brainwash, but definitely control the people who are at the receiving end of this commodification?
I would say so. I feel like when you commodify something, you very much limit who is able to participate, mm-hmm. you know, in that movement. Or, I mean, commodification rests on exploitation. Like, when you sell shirts, like, where are those shirts? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, it's no longer a grassroots movement of the people coming together and, you know, liberating themselves. Instead, it's like a company being like, we love people who fight back against capitalism. Like, I literally see anti-capitalist things being sold. Yeah, merch. It's like, that's so interesting. Interesting commentary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I was talking to one of my friends back in university, and they were saying how it is important to still like acknowledge the quote unquote leftist aesthetic or whatever, because it's like a point of connection for people, you know, and it's a point of like recognition. Like, you could go up to a stranger and be like, okay, I know we can relate over these kind of things. You know what I mean? But I mean, obviously it's very hypocritical in like the sense, but then again, you can't really escape the identity-based, identity obsession that capitalism brings about, you know?
Okay, so you're saying, like, your friend was talking about how it's important to acknowledge this, like, kind of commodification of leftist ideas, because even then, like, there is still some sort of root of like actual ideas with some sort of value or integrity, kind of.
I guess they were saying more that it's important to have some sort of like leftist identifier. Which I guess is true. Like, it does raise a few questions for me, you know, about identity. I feel like it's really interesting how like people are so scared of this, like, I don't know, this lack of choice, one could say, in, you know, how they represent themselves if we were to move to a society that was less, if something were to happen and suddenly we were not in a capitalist society, but say a different form of organizing ourselves.
Yeah.
And there was less like instead of having like millions of different t-shirts, we had like 30, let's say, just putting that number out there.
For the whole world.
For the whole world.
Wow, what a world.
Yeah,
that would
be. And how interesting, like, people are so terrified of that because we're so, and I mean, that makes so much sense. Like, like within media, we're so pushed into this idea like you are your external representation, and especially as women, bringing it back to gender.
Good. Let's go.
And even as like someone who rejects the binary, you know what I mean? Like, even if you are non-binary, you have to aestheticize yourself to, you know, represent androgyny. And as a woman, you have to still understand your role as, you know, an object in a sense. Like, you are there as a physicality. You are not there as like a brain or...
It's like you're decorating yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's so interesting to me how people are so terrified of that, like, veer away from aestheticization because it is so tied to one sense of self. I mean, it makes so much sense. Like, capitalism relies on this, like, I am the way I dress. Like, right now I look like I'm in The Handmaid's Tale, and I'm like, wow, this is such a good time to talk about women's issue. Like, I am wearing some... It's almost like a sack, one could say. And it's like, maybe that's what I feel like.
You know what? It has some, for all the listeners out there, it's a quick interlude, but it has some brown buttons on the side. Yeah. It's kind of, maybe it could be linen or some material. Yeah.
I could churn some butter right now, you know, and that's my identity. And that's fine. She's wearing a leopard print shirt. Like, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, totally. The day is mine because of, you know, my outfit. But that is a good point, how we are so tied to our identity, especially as women, because I think it does, at least for me personally, if we're going to get personal.
We are.
Obviously it has ties to this incessant need for more, but it's also kind of a way to protect yourself from the world in some way and have some sort of say over... how you are perceived, and you always want to be seen in a positive light with, especially like, actually, I think in general, like, I want to be seen in a positive light. And if I'm always improving myself, because there is this kind of narrative of always needing to improve yourself, and as you get older, you just keep on getting better and better. And I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I see your point.
And I see your point. Like, yeah. I also, like, veering off of this a little, but talking about, you know, this obsession with aestheticization. You know how there's all this talk of, like, hatred towards women or people, like, especially women, who are, like, oh, high maintenance. You know, there's, like... they want to get plastic surgery, they want to wear makeup, they're going to spend a long time getting ready.
Yeah, get an eyebrow lamination, get, like, eyelash extensions.
Yeah. And it's, like, I think that's really interesting because those kind of women understand, you know, we are, women are very much valued in an objectifying sense. You know, definitely. We are...
That is our number one value shown to us.
Exactly. Like, you cannot gain respect, you cannot... gain much. You are there as, like...
Yeah. You can't even gain respect, though.
No, you can't. Like, no. Yeah. That's so true. I mean, like, I don't know how to explain this. I feel like I've gone on this rant so many times. Like...
Yeah.
I guess... Okay, let's see. What I'm trying to say is that as a woman, you understand your position in the sense that you are nothing but some sort of physical object.
Yeah.
You know, like... you are your looks, your value is on a 1 to 10 scale of attractiveness. And I'm not saying this in, like, a traditional, like, anti-feminist sense of that's all women should care about, but it's just, like, how society has valued women. You know, obviously, just a little precursor for those out there. But then I think it's really interesting when people talk about, you know, quote-unquote high-maintenance women, when women care about their beauty, and it's, like, they understand where they have been placed in society as women, and they are trying to do what they can to gain more value. And it's so interesting that women who, like, try to, you know, further themselves in their value are so looked down upon. You know, you have to be, like, naturally in your place as, like, a naturally beautiful woman. But if you have the kind of, like, consciousness to realize yourself, you are fought against, because I feel like that is the first step of, you know, realizing the gender oppression, when you understand your place and how to better use it.
Totally. It's just the paradox of the beauty standard, where it's, if you have one thing, you can't ever have the other. If you have one, this mm-hmm. other thing, you can't, you're never ever going to have a fully developed value, I guess. Mm-hmm. You're never going to actually have value, because even if you do for a short, fleeting moment in your life, and that's what you're trying to work towards your entire life, you're going to get older. And surprise, we're very much told that, okay, once you get older, you're not, there's no, okay. For example, with men, there's two different kind of categories of beauty or attractiveness for men. There is still good things about becoming older, aging as a man, that can be spoken for. Okay, yeah, a silver fox or whatever with this, these certain things, so rugged or so this or that. But for an aging woman, there's not really an adjacent category for that. So even within trying to pursue something your entire life, it is a very... it's all for nothing in the end, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because once you get older, you, as a woman, you no longer fit into this, patriarchal understanding of woman as, a young... patriarchy is so steeped in pedophilia,
Yeah.
As a young, docile, weak, stupid, woman.
I love that word, docile. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think it's also interesting, I don't know... because this is a swear word, so I don't know how to go around this. But mm-hmm. Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
What would I say there?
I'm not sure.
Can I spell it out?
The Madonna bleep complex, maybe you could
yeah,
say.
Yeah, okay. So I find this really interesting. Mm-hmm. I haven't read that much about it, but just this whole idea that women are, have two choices, kind of like what you were saying about men. Madonna in... a very biblical sense of you are mother, you are nurturing, you are kind, you are caring, you are someone who practices abstinence, that kind of that kind mm-hmm. of realm of thought. And then the other one, which is a word I can't say on air, mm-hmm. is kind of you are more sexual, you are sexualized.
You're dirty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's you don't fit into either of those two choices when you were an older woman, because you can no longer be that quote-unquote mother. You are no longer the womb that you can be, and then you are also no longer, as sexualized, because it doesn't fit into the pedophilic vision
yeah.
of women's sexuality. You know what I mean?
Totally. And if we want to loop this around to representation in the media one more time, there's very, very little representation of older women in the media, too. And there's so many movies centering around old men. And it's just, that's another example of representation in the media. But, yeah, aside from that, definitely, you don't have your typical uses anymore once you become older. And I think I've talked to my mom about this. I know you've talked to your, mom yeah. about this, and it's a very common thread for older women, is just feeling invisible.
Yeah, very much so.
Is very poignant, you could say.
Better than interrogating, yeah. I must say.
Throwing out these big words.
Yeah, you
today.
Guys better write this down. We're going to quiz you next time.
Yeah.
We're going to have you guys call in and then spell it out for us.
Yeah. You next week or next 2 weeks, you guys should definitely
yeah.
try calling
and we
in
do.
Have a conversation.
I think so. We do have the power to cut all yeah. the Wi-Fi in the city and all the data, so you will not be able to look this up. Mm-hmm. So watch out.
Once
be
in a
prepared.
Lifetime opportunity.
We're excited. You can yeah. win so much money. We won't say how, but we're going to start doing a bake sale soon, probably to raise some money
bake
for
sale.
This. I mean, might as well, to just try
not
to raise some funds for this.
Free community bake off.
True. We could do that. Prize money.
Yeah,
but then
all about money.
Uh-huh. Well, what can I say? I'm a working woman, Stella.
Okay. That's true.
Yeah, and I think that this this understanding of invisibility is really important, because it brings us back to labor. You know,
there we go.
We were all waiting for that word, weren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, this was the mic drop.
It was. I should take the mic out just to drop it.
Yeah.
I feel like people never hear that on the radio. They're deprived.
Ooh.
It's time to shake things up a little in the studio.
Yeah.
Next time we're going to
blast your ears. Yeah. Bye, guys.
Not yet. Let me give my little okay, report. Yeah. Then we can wrap it up.
Okay.
Okay, go so ahead. It's just spitballing here. Mm-hmm. For a second, I thought it was a swear word. I was getting worried. It's hard
We've
sometimes.
We've been spitballing the entire time.
Yeah, we have. I don't know it's if you guys relate out here, but with the swearing, sometimes I don't even like label it as a swear anymore. Yeah. I just, and then I'm like, God. Oh, that's blasphemy. Okay, circling back.
Blasphemy should be allowed.
You think so? Even that sounds like a swear word in itself.
Blasphemy.
It sounds like it. Yeah, I think we should label it as one.
Uh-oh.
And then God is like the word you could say to cancel it out.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Making some new rules here.
Yeah. This is how laws get made right here.
Oh,
you're
yes.
seeing it.
Grassroots.
People of the world.
Foundation. Changing yeah. the media to change the culture.
Two women, yeah. Grassroots. You look like a leopard in the grass right now, so I guess that works. Okay. Anyone listening to you out there, you're really
you
getting
like
to know your
host. In the grass, just weaving it up for no reason at all.
I wish we could share a picture with you guys.
Yeah, maybe we could. Guys, you should follow our Instagram.
Oh, God, okay. Okay. Yeah, true. This whole idea of this ability is linked to labor in the sense that who is deemed valuable, and then who is deemed worth seeing, who is deemed worth existing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we look at people that are differently abled, and a lot of, like, society invisibilizes them because they are not, within this capitalist system, seen as, you know, as able to be a worker in the labor force within mm-hmm. this, like, incredibly exploitative system. And then the same thing you could see as, like, a lot of older women, you know, you like when you look at a woman's, you know, quote, assigned job in capitalism, it is to do this unseen labor. It is to do yeah. reproductive work. It is to produce more workers, clean the home. But as you become an older woman and maybe you're not as able to dust, you know, mm-hmm. you're not as you can't produce children. You are no longer put into the sphere of notice, the sphere of the little value that you can attain as a woman. And then, you know, the same with so, like, even like children as people that can't have, that can't labor as much. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like these things that we think of as inherent values of people, like, when you don't really examine it, tried to find a synonym for it there, it was hard, guys, yeah, to stray yeah. away. You
an
kind
examination
of,
room as opposed to an interrogation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
I'm going to take a microscope out here. Mm. Like these traits that are labeled as inherent are just so linked to one's ability to be a worker. And then like the entire system of value, you know, stems from that. In the sense like when you look at these oppressive systems, these imperialist, exploitative, class-based systems very much rely on this, you know, hierarchy of, and those at the top are those that have valued labor. You know what I mean? Like,
who's at the top? Yeah,
I mean, in Canada it's white men, you know, like mm-hmm. and like even tying back to like you could say indigeneity, you know, there's so much. That hierarchy is very much put in place by this, like, property-based evaluation. Like, the only way that property, like, let land can be taken is if you undervalue the people who are on that land and who have that land. You know what I mean? Like, it's so based upon, like, labor and property and, you know, capitalist extortion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I could not have said it better myself, Logan. Wow. Thank you for that. Amazing, I would say, final wrap-up to our discussion, unless there's anything else you're wanting to add to that, but that was pretty good, pretty encompassing.
I don't think there's anything else I would want to add. I just think...
For now.
I just think, like, when you guys listen to media, when you guys look at media, when you see all these things and you might see, like, different forms of media out there, it's so interesting to try to examine it through a capitalist non-interrogant. I can see you trying to push for that.
Yeah.
Through, like, a capitalist lens, if you see what I mean. Like,
definitely.
Yeah.
And I think in the beginning we were talking about media through more of a feminist lens, but then I think throughout the discussion we can kind of see that feminism and capitalism can be very interlinked in the way that we examine and interrogate the media. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, exactly. Inherently interlinked. Mm-hmm. Like, capitalism relies on these hierarchies, of course. I'm just repeating myself now, just trying to really bring the point home.
Exactly.
We're going to listen to a little song to just let people reflect, maybe monologue in the car, you know?
Yeah. I think it's good. What would you guys say in this conversation? How do you feel? Exactly.
Maybe next time we'll have one of you guys on.
Exactly. That would be really nice.
So we're going to listen to No Golden Throat by Lizzie.
I think the full name is something that's a bit more difficult to pronounce.
Okay. We are live and Stella just pulled me under the bus.
Yeah, totally.
But anyway, No Golden Throat. I hope you guys enjoy this song.
Thank you for tuning in to Intravenous. Come back
next Wednesday
at 10 a.m. This was Stella and Logan. Thank you for listening.